Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's topic is a good one, closing the gap between black men and women. With tonight's guest, tonight's host is Sister Gidget. What's up, Sister Gidget?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother DJ Black Teeth. How are you this evening?
Doing good.
Doing good. I'm doing blessed. I'm blessed.
Okay, DJ Black Teeth, I don't know what's going on. Some people are trying to call in, and they say that the number is giving a busy signal. So if you could, let me see. I don't know what you could do. Hold on. Can you call to see if it's giving a busy signal?
Yeah, hold on for a second. Let me click over and dial off another number, all right?
Okay. All right. Well, we have some people in the chat room, and I hope the rest of the listening audience will be able to come on. Tonight we're going to talk about closing the gap between the black man and the black woman. And I would like to extend the greetings to my listening audience as well as my distinguished panel. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder in our midst. And I greet all of you in our greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. I'm sorry.
Wa alaykum salam.
How is everyone tonight?
Fine, Sister Bala. I agree.
Fine, by the grace
of God.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. That is so good to hear. That is good to hear. I want to be clear about the reason for this show and the reason for this topic. I want to share with you that for many, many months now, I have been somewhat studying as well as just communicating with brothers and sisters back and forth, and no matter what I'm talking about, it always leads back to relationships. And I'm not the relationship guru. I'm a marriage counselor, yes, but that's just really not my off work schedule type of thing that I like to involve myself in. But I'm hearing the cry of the believers on both sides. At first, I was led to believe that it was an MGT thing, that the sisters were being somewhat emotional and, you know, the brothers were, you know, out there just doing their thing and procrastinating about marriage. And then I started gravitating to my brothers to just kind of see what was going on, and come to find out the brothers are hurting just as much as the sisters are. But the difference that I found is that the brothers have a hard time expressing themselves, or it's not the norm for a brother to come out and express himself about his hurt and his pain.
Right.
And so what your dear sister is trying to do is trying to close that gap. We have a gap in communication. We have a gap in understanding. And we need to close that gap and come together in brotherhood and sisterhood first to understand one another better, so that we can tear down some of those walls that are keeping us divided as a people, as brothers and sisters in the faith, and keeping us divided from, you know, being couples and getting married and going on to build up families. So, you know, I was thinking about all of you as I gathered you on the show, and Brother Malik Wali Muhammad from New York, he joined the bandwagon this afternoon. All praises due to Allah.
Yes,
and I was thinking about each of you, each of your statuses, because we have Brother Mikhail, okay, I think I'm saying this right, Cinematic Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
You're the only married brother on the panel. And then we have Brother Gary Muhammad, who is desiring courtship. And we have Brother Malik, who is a widower, who is seeking to be remarried. And we have Brother Brian, who is divorced. And Brother Derek, what you doing?
I'll prepare myself.
Well, Brother Derek is actually my co-host for the show, but I'm putting him on the spot tonight. I'm putting him because I want to hear from the brothers tonight. And we're not talking about the problems, because we've had enough shows dealing with some of the issues. Tonight we want to find solutions. Okay,
right.
So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about solutions. And I was talking to Brother Marcus Peace Muhammad out of Atlanta. We were talking about some things that we wanted to discuss on the show. And one of the things that brought to my attention is that we have to first be good Muslims. So I'm going to ask each of you to give me your definition of what is a good Muslim. And I'm going to start with you, Brother Gary.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, when I reflect on the question, what is a good Muslim, the first thing that comes to mind, what the Holy Quran says. and that is one who has submitted his will to do the will of God. But for one to submit his will to do God's will, he has to know what God's will is. So that means that myself have to be committed to becoming knowledgeable of what God said he desires for me and for those whom he created to establish a universal heaven of peace on earth and everything else in our universe. So that's how I would start, submitting my will to do God's will and equipping myself to do that.
Okay, thank you, Brother Gary. Brother Derek?
Yes, ma'am. A good Muslim is one who submits his will to do the will of Allah. And once you line your will up with God's will, it makes you a better person. So, that's basically what I say, one who sets his will up to do the will of Allah. I'm sorry, man, my little nephew is a father to me.
Okay, and Brother Mikhail?
Like the brother said, one who submits his will to do the will of Allah and also recognizes Surah 555, wherein Allah says the true friend of the believers is Allah, his messenger, and the true believers, and helping each of the other believers to walk this righteous path that we're trying to do.
Okay. And Brother Brian?
Yes. Certainly, being a good Muslim is one who strives hard in the way of Allah to do the will of Allah and loves to do the will of Allah. That's one thing. We don't always say that we love doing the will of Allah. Sometimes, for some people, it's a burden, but truly, we should get to the point where we actually love doing the right thing and what Allah instructs us to do. So therefore, we commit ourselves to study and practical application so that we can be found doing what he say do. And that's found through the Quran and the Hadith and our lessons.
Yes, sir. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay. Brother Malik.
Yes, ma'am. I agree with everyone else as far as, you know, to submit our will to do Allah's will. You have to want what Allah wants. You have to hate what Allah hates. We have to, if you take and look at the opening prayer that we say before we open up every meeting, that's an opening prayer to every relationship in life. And if we abide by the opening prayer, those words in the opening prayer, then we can be a good Muslim.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, let me straighten this out 1 second, y'all. Okay. Blog Talk say they're having a problem with their phones. And so I am so sorry for the inconvenience. If any of you can log on to www.blogtalkradio.com, look for Nation Building. You can listen online. For those who can't listen online right now, you can probably listen later. I'm so sorry. They are working on the phone lines. Okay? So the show will be recorded for you to listen at a later time, if necessary, if they don't get this fixed right now. But I'm going to go off, don't you? Okay. All right. Okay. Woo, okay, we're going to carry on.
All right.
If people would stop inboxing me. Okay. Now, when we say being a good Muslim, we all have to get there.
Yes, she
does. And faith and knowledge and wisdom and understanding comes in degrees. You don't go through processing and get an X and know everything.
That is right.
That don't happen. I'm bearing witness. That doesn't happen. And We are all striving. We strive every day. We will never have the complete knowledge of Allah. But we are all striving for excellence. And so in that imperfection, you know, we are still trying to evolve and connect with another that we can share our lives with. But, you know, I've come to realize that sometimes we're unrealistic about our goals and our expectations of another believer. And that's just my observation. I'm not saying that that's everyone's opinion. And so a lot of what I have noticed in the studies that I've been doing in some of the single believers is that the expectations are unrealistic. That's the first thing that I want to address. So, brothers, I'm going to ask you all, you know, have you checked yourself and made an analysis to see if your expectations are unrealistic when it comes to selecting an MGT? And I'm going to just let anybody go first.
Well, I'll start off by saying the main problem that I find that FOI, when we come into the mosque, are having is that we have a certain expectation because we're real familiar with Lost Found. But when we come into the mosque, somehow we have a tendency to believe that we're leaving the world because we believe we're coming in to get a better woman. And sometimes I think what's unrealistic is we fail to understand that that's a process that has to take place, because the same women in the world are the women that comes into the mosque. And they're not going to be all righteous and all divine when they come in. That's a long process of teaching and practical application. And so I think that we just need to understand that and then get to the root of the person that we're really dealing with, to understand where they're coming from, what environment, what background, and deal with them the reality of their history as rather than just what's in front of us.
Yes, sir. Okay. And who was that, Brother Brian?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't give y'all a chance to introduce yourselves. I'm going to introduce y'all as y'all. Well, go ahead and introduce yourself, Brother Brian, since you just got through talking.
Well, I'm Brother Brian Muhammad. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas, Mosque 52. And I'm in love with the black woman, and I dig her, and I always have. Never been with nobody else. And I'm sold out on her. She's bad, she's cold, and I believe that. We're going to talk about it.
Yes, sir. Okay. Come on, talk to us, Brother Malik, and introduce yourself.
Yes. My name is Brother Malik Muhammad, from Mosque number 7 in New York. A widower. It's 3 years since my wife passed. May Allah be pleased with her last week.
Okay.
Author of 4 children, 7 grandchildren. I'm personally ready now to move on with my life, looking for another mate to help me in this mission and my assignment. I'm on the staff, our minister in New York, Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, assistant minister. I teach the study group classes on Wednesdays and Friday nights. And as my brother said also, I'm truly and always have been, since I was aware that women exist, that the black woman is the only woman that I desire in life.
Okay, and Brother Gary.
Yes, my name is Gary Mahatmas. Mosque Joliet, which was transferred to a mosque in Harvey, which was transferred to a mosque in Chicago, which is Mosque Mariam. I've been in, registered since 1998. I'm a father of three children, two boys and a girl. My profession in life is a journeyman lineman electrician. Like I said, pretty much a lover of Islam, definitely a believer in the big three, Muhammad. And here I am. So that's pretty much summed it up.
Yes, sir. And Brother McHale.
Excuse me. Yes, ma'am. Brother Mike Mikiel, Cinematic Muhammad out of Mosque 32 in Phoenix. Been in the nation since 1992. Happily married. This is my second go around in being married. And as my wife always tells me every day, it's my last time going around being married. She makes me to know that every day. And I'm just a believer, family, just a believer.
Very good.
And brother Derek.
Yes, ma'am. I'm Brother Derek, co-host with Sister Gidget down in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm probably the youngest one on here learning and just want to share my two cents, see what I can pick up on, so I can get married.
Yes, so we can get you married, absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Brother Malik. Brother Malik, are the expectations unrealistic?
No, I mean, what you desire in life is what you desire in life. You just have to find that one who's a match for what you want. I mean, you could eliminate certain things and come to an agreement, but there are certain major things in a relationship that's a must, and you don't want to lessen that, or you don't want to alleviate that. You know, the foundation of the relationship has to be there. So I think sometimes, though, with some of the sisters, it's not a knock, but it's from my own observation, is that sometimes their expectations are too high, what they're looking for. The minister said, you're dealing with a poor black man. You're dealing with a black man who, in this world, in this society, is designed to keep him on the bottom. So the minister said, how can you have want a man to give you a mansion and a yacht, and he's a poor black man when you met him? So we saw in those type of situations where I hear a lot of materialistic talk,
yes,
even
sir.
on Facebook, a lot of materialistic.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know,
yes,
sister, somebody, well, if he don't give me a ring, I ain't married. I mean, all that's nonsense to me. You know, if you have a brother that's going to give you his all, regardless of what kind of ring, whether he give you one or not, then you should, you know, if he has the qualifications that you desire, you don't let a ring stop you. The minister doesn't wear a wedding ring, and look at his marriage. So these are the type of things that we have to look at, and we have to realize what are our priorities and put them in order and get off of this materialistic plane that some of us are on.
Yes, sir. Okay, and how many of you, you know, y'all can just talk, you know, just let
okay.
me know who's speaking. How many of you see that same thing or think that the expectations are unrealistic?
Well, this is Brother Gary, Muhammad. I'll say this. I don't necessarily think that it's unrealistic, but I do believe that men and women desire what they're not. So if you want a star-studded man, you have to be a star-studded woman. And if you are, how can I put it, and if you a man that want a star-studded woman, you have to be a star-studded man. And I think that is one of the major problems we have in the nation, is that I've talked with a few brothers who want women like Holly Berry, who want mm-hmm. these high-class, high-priced, beautiful women. But these brothers have not built themselves up financially. They haven't built themselves educationally. They haven't built themselves up in a manner of discipline to be able to protect, nurture, care, or even love a woman like that if God blessed them with an individual like that. But now let's flip the coin. You have a sister who want a man like a Minister Farrakhan, who want a man like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. but she can't sew, can't cook, can't clean, can't rear children, don't know how to act at home in the Bronx, and don't know her Islam. So then she becomes upset and bitter when a brother comes to her and he's demanding to get these things out of her, or let's flip the coin. A brother gets upset because a sister won't give him the time of day. Why? Because he hasn't done what he should have done. So I don't think the expectation is unrealistic, but I do believe we want what we ain't giving out. And I think we as FOI and MGT have to address ourselves and make sure we fit the bill before we demand the bill. We can't go into a store with $5 trying to buy me coats. You got to make sure you got the money to buy what you're looking for. And if you get it, you better make sure that you're capable of taking care of what God gives you. And that goes both ways, on man and woman. But this is what I see.
This is Brother Brian. And I appreciate the dialogue because we have different experiences. I say that what I mainly see is I don't think the sisters are really familiar with the kind of FOI, the kind of man that Minister Farrakhan is making. And so they still familiar with the man in the world, and they're not familiar with a brother. Like, for instance, I got the degrees. I've been a businessman. I'm a minister, activist, and the whole nine. But I don't care about that. When I see a sister, she don't have to be, if I take a line from the brother, she don't have to be a star-studded sister. Matter of fact, I pride myself on looking for the diamond in the rough.
Ready yes, sir.
For the star-studded sister.
Yes, sir.
I know
yes,
that's,
sir.
That's the big secret. That's that uncut gem that I'm willing to work with and provide her with everything.
Yes,
but,
sir.
The problem comes that when you have a brother that's well-educated, down to earth, got money, got his own business, and just down to earth, and you pick a sister, you have to, even though you may be willing to lift her up regardless of where she come from, even if she have other babies before she comes to the marriage, sometimes sisters really don't know what to do with that kind of brother. And so they don't understand where we coming from. Some of us really dig the black woman. Some of us believe. I was taught by Minister Farrakhan since I was 20 years old, and the definition that of love is given totally of yourself for the benefit of somebody else, and not judging the person, but taking them as they is. And just like I had to learn and grow, spend the first 20s, just getting to know me, working out my own little issues so that I can be prepared to have something to offer to us, not only a degree and the ability to make money, you know, that's a given, but ability to be her brother and to understand, well, some sisters are not, they want that, they love that kind of man, but they don't really know how to deal with that kind of person. It makes them blow, their head might blow up, or they really just don't know how to handle it. You know, they don't know how to deal with a down-to-earth brother because they don't really know what the, I won't say their expectations is unrealistic and wanting too much, but they don't know just how to handle a man that just dig them for who they are. And see them as something beautiful and want to lift them up without feeling like they are that, and you got to start dealing with their background issues rather than just appreciating what they got and being willing to participate in their own elevation.
Yes, sir. Okay. Anybody else have anything on that?
If Brother Michael's not going to go, I'll mention one quick thing. Brother Michael, are you going to go, brother?
No, go ahead, fam.
Okay. I will say this, is that I wanted to ride on the point that the brother just mentioned, and this is something else that I've noticed in my multiple conversations with many FOI and MGT, is, like we've been saying, we don't think the expectations are unrealistic. But if a woman desires or a man desires certain things, what is wrong with you working with me? Me working with you in your current condition to help achieve what it is that you desire. If the woman's job is to help the man meet his goal, but she's able to encourage the man to make something she desires, one of his goals, why not work with the man? Don't tell the man that you have to have these things before he gets you, which there are some things I believe he should have because Minister Farrakhan instructed the FOI to have certain things. Okay, but then there are some things that it's a little bit more difficult to get in the world like this. So what's wrong with the MGT doing what the white woman did? And that was when the white man came from Europe and came to America, sisters, he didn't have anything. The white man came into hostile territory with a gun, boots, wife, children, no home, no food, no nothing. They came on a hope and a prayer. But that white woman stayed and hugged to her white man. And they conquered the Native American, built themselves a home, worked themselves some land, got themselves some money, and built themselves a heaven overnight. So if the white woman was able to leave grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, and leave everything that they owned in Europe, why can't the black woman do the same thing for a black man? And we're not even asking them to leave America. We're just asking them to leave the mentality and the idea that the white man has given them, that the black man has to have all of these things before she gives her undying loyalty to him. This is one of the things that I believe we're going to have to eventually address to close the gap between the black man and the black woman.
Brother, yes, one thing that you said, you said overnight, what the white man built this world overnight. And I really want to correct that because that's part of the problem. The white man didn't build his world overnight. It took him thousands of years, and he was in a pitiful condition, and it took a long time. And so part of the problem is our woman lives in a world where under another man who she sees and she's attracted to all these things that he have right now, but she don't realize what it took to nation build, what it takes to build a nation and to get started, which is our current condition. We don't have a world that's built and now going out. We at the point of just beginning to build a nation. So as a brother is willing, goes to come to the relationship willing to be patient with her, because she don't have, she don't, whether she believe it or not, but she don't have everything that she needs to have to be prepared at this time. So certainly she need to be patient with any brother that's willing to be patient with her. She has, sometimes I think brothers and sisters get caught up into thinking more of themselves than they really are, and they're not realistic. They don't take a realistic assessment of themselves in their current condition. And brother said something that was really important. Sometimes we want what we not. If I'm a bum, I want a good girl. You know, if I'm not such a good girl, then I want a good brother, top shelf that make me look good. And so, you know, we all these things are things that we really need to discuss, and we will find the mindset out if we would just take time to be brothers and sisters. I love to be brothers and brothers with a sister. I love that. I've always loved that. And that's why I find the black woman to be cold. But that you can learn some realistically how she's thinking. And you can't take every sister home because every sister might not be properly yoked with you. You might not have the same upbringing or understanding that you have. Now, you can be a brother in the mosque, but when you're looking for a courtship, there has to be honest dialogue so that you can make a proper assessment of where each other at. And it's nothing wrong if you marry and get with a sister that you dig that maybe had less fortunate. But is she willing to really participate in her own elevation?
Okay. I wanted to quickly say something, Gidget, if I don't mind. The Bible says that a day unto the Lord is just 1,000 years. Is that right? So if America started its inception around the year 1555, okay? If you count from 1555 to the current, you're talking about a little more than 400 years. Is that correct? So if a day is 1,000 years, and America was built in less than 1,000, less than 500, then exactly what Minister Farrakhan said about he built his world, meaning America, those who rule America, overnight is 100% correct. He built his world overnight. Thank you.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, let's not get into that part of it. I mean, because bottom line is that he came here and not only when you say created his world, you know, I don't want people to think it in a literal sense, because he also created the Negro mindset.
Absolutely.
And the mindset
absolutely
that a lot of us have right now. And so correcting that process is what we need to be doing. And a
absolutely
lot of times when we don't have the knowledge of self, then we don't know how to correct ourselves to get back to what we were if we are not even aware of what we were.
Sister Kitchen,
go ahead.
This is Brother Malik, real quickly, so we need to go on, but I want to just say on this point that the word he created is wrong. He made. Only Allah creates. So we know that terminology is not correct in dealing with the white man, because he hasn't created anything.
Right.
So
okay,
let's go on with our idea or whatever we're
doing.
Let's
move on. And you know, we don't want to spend the time all night science enough. We want to get down realistic.
Yes,
and
sir.
I want to get to the meat of it, y'all.
Yes, sir.
I want to get
yes,
to the
well, let's
issue.
Get to it. Let's get to
and
it.
So, you know, I want our men, I want our black men to be leaders in our relationships, in our communities, and definitely in our homes. And then there's a divide because we have sisters out here who have been hurt mentally, physically, and emotionally. Now, we can talk about the overall concept of what Willie Lynch has done to us and, you know, being victims of being in America. However, the point is that when we have these teachings, and particularly, we have to know how not only to cite and quote, but we have to know how to apply this knowledge.
Absolutely.
And so when you as men take on a wife, when you're talking about maintaining and sustaining a woman, I want to know from you, what do you think that means? So I'm going to start with Brother McHale. He's married.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to? Can you repeat that question, sister? You want to know what now?
Oh, excuse me. I want to know, what is your idea of maintaining a woman?
I mean, maintaining. You know, the things that are self-explanatory. You know, you have to have some sense of financial responsibility and whatnot. But my idea of maintaining a woman is more so maintaining her mind, helping to guide her and whatnot. And see, I have a wife that's public with her platform, and so I'm doing that a lot with her, guiding her and give her direction or sending her into the scriptures, and we study that together. So a lot of that is maintenance of the mind, being on guard with that. I think when you marry, it says maintaining financially and providing things that you provide when you're married is self-evident. Like, can't be married and not have a flow of income coming in. Can't be married and not have a roof over your head. Those are things you got to provide, but I think more providing mentally, spiritually, guidance and whatnot, at least for me, that's what I'm doing right now in my own home. It may be different. There's a general sense of maintaining, like I was talking about, with the financial responsibility. But I think it's more about maintaining that mindset, or how should I say, guiding that. So, just Just my opinion.
Yes, sir. Okay, so I want to hear from each of you. So go ahead, Brother Derek, where you at?
I'm sorry, I'm here. I was dealing with a situation. Can you say the question one more time?
So what is your idea of maintaining a woman?
Well, maintaining a woman, the first thing you have to do is be able to maintain yourself. When you can maintain yourself, it makes it a whole lot easier to maintain others. And the best way to maintain a woman is to keep her from worry and doubt and insecurity. So like the brothers were saying, you know, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and see, am I ready, you know, to take on this responsibility? Because the minister said a woman is a responsibility. And if you're not ready for a responsibility, you're not ready for no woman. So you have to, just the main thing is to take care of her mentally and make sure she's free from doubt, worry, and stress. And a lot of brothers are struggling with that. And I think that's one of the big problems with us, because we're not really looking at ourselves to say, okay, you know, let me get myself together. And, you know, then I can take care of this woman or take care of them children. So
yes,
it's a lot of work we have to do on ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
who is that coughing?
That's me. I'm sorry. I'm getting over the flu, Brother Mikhail.
Are you alright?
Yeah, I'm getting over it now.
Okay, I was going to say, go get your lemon and honey. Okay, so, Brother Brian.
Well, I too believe that the first thing that a man should do is prepare himself. And I was blessed that, like I said, I started studying under leading since I was a young man. And I took all my acquaintance to embrace what he talked about in preparing for courtship. And I would encourage every FOI, especially if you came in the nation after 95 and up to the present, go back and get those earlier tapes when the minister was focusing on male-female relationships and courtship, because there's some gems, there's some principles that will guide you from the definition of love to the nature of the woman to the nature of the man. He tells you that the woman, man and woman, is not in competition. They are in complement of one another. And so you step to the relationship with some of those divine principles that you believe in and that you have embraced, and so that you approach it by wanting to be her brother who's prepared. You want to get to know her so you can secure her mind and be conscientious and aware of certain issues and insecurities that a woman would have, because you've been taught the nature of a woman. And you want to become her friend and our brother, because we don't use friend, but a brother friend. And ultimately, you decide that, hey, we have something in common based on answering a lot of questions and asking a lot of questions and just what comes natural, that you decide she will be your wife with the goal that she will be your soulmate. And along with that, in maintaining her, you have prepared yourself for, in my case, well-educated, college degree, good school, good job, and even been in business for myself and happen to be in a pretty good field, oil and gas and whatnot. And so maintenance, and I'm going to say this, I say always, by the grace of Allah, my wife didn't want for anything materially. Matter of fact, maybe too much at the time.
Okay, somebody has their computer on. Can you please cut that down? Because we're getting a lot of feedback. I'm sorry.
Because
go ahead, Brother Brian.
Because it's very important. And I say by the grace of Allah that
that even though you strive to do your best, that you are fortunate that you can maintain your wife throughout the time to give her a good life, the desires of a girl, wine and dine a corner, continue the romance throughout the relationship. And I say only by the grace of Allah, because I know it's hard on brothers. But even the brothers are striving. Now we didn't always start that way. Although we were blessed that I was always in the position to take care of my wife and family. But a sister got to be willing. The beautiful part about it is building that relationship. Like the brother said, you build a relationship together. My wife married a man who was in the ministry, well known in the community, an activist, and was building the organization, and loved the minister and was well known in the nation. So, but I was willing to take her along with me from building up in the community and building her up and letting her do her thing and right into the business, being right there with her. And fortunately, we were able to do business a lot. For the main part of our relationship, we went business together. We did everything together. So that financial part has got to be there. But I agree with the brother. What was foremost to me is that I secured her mentally and spiritually, that I was her brother, that she knew I was her brother before I was anything else, that I was a boy, a man who saved her. And she was my ace moon coon. That was what was foremost to me, although that other financial piece, realistically, that's got to be there. But
right.
But that's what my definition of maintaining a woman is, keeping up the cure.
Okay. I think I got to everybody. Brother Malik, did I get to you on that question?
No, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
How God worked. I was just studying this last night, the minister's lecture on love and duty, August 19th, 2001.
Yes, sir.
And he spoke and he taught on the maintenance of a woman.
That's right.
And what he said to maintain a woman, you have to have knowledge.
Yes, sir.
You have to have knowledge to keep her head and her heart. He said, "You have to know the nature of the woman in order to maintain." He said that I'm going to read directly some of his words. He said, "In order to maintain a woman, the man must know who she is. You have to know that she is the woman of God. You can't maintain her properly outside of God." He said, degrees don't qualify you to be a good man.
That's right, brother.
He said, at first you have to maintain her spiritually. Maintain her in the path of God, and she has to know how to be the same, do the same for you. If you do not study, you cannot maintain her. He said, you can't maintain your wife or your children without knowledge. You can't secure them without knowledge. He said, maintain a woman means you have to be responsible to protect her. You can't protect her if you can't control her. Truth is above everybody. So unless you deal in your relationship with your wife and truth, this is me speaking now, so unless you maintain your relationship with your wife with truth, whether it's you who are given truth or her, and you're willing to submit to the truth that she knows, that gives you the prerequisite in order to maintain your wife and your family.
Yes, sir. You know, I listened to all of you, and one thing I did not hear from either of you is to really maintain this particular black woman, that you have to be able to understand her and understand her pain. Because let me tell y'all something, and I know many of you already know this, but a lot of you, and I'm not saying you men in particular, I'm saying a lot of men in general, you know, lost, found, F-O-R, a lot of men do not speak to the emotional side of a woman. You're not sympathetic towards her emotional state. I'm not saying you're not sympathetic towards her condition or her past or whatever that may be. You're not sympathetic to her emotional state. And this is what I'm talking about. Because a woman can sit down and share with you everything that has happened to her. But you have to secure her emotionally. Because women are emotional creatures. That's just the bottom line. You ain't gonna get around that. you can't escape that. And see, the thing what I hear from my sisters is, you know, I've been there before, been done that. This has happened before. Well, they don't know that everything they fear has already happened to them. And so it's that constant reassurance of letting them know that you are not that brother, you know. But a lot of these sisters are not necessarily messed up behind a relationship with another man that she had on an intimate level. A lot of these sisters are messed up because the first man that they were supposed to love violated them one way or the other, whether it was abandonment, whether it was physical abuse or emotional abuse or sexual abuse or verbal abuse. A lot of women have been abused in some kind of way. And you brothers are going to have to learn to speak to that in order to reach this particular black woman, because that is why she can go out into the world and be so easily manipulated. Even women who are in corporate America got all kind of letters behind their name. The white man puts them in a position to tell them mentally that you don't need a man. I'm giving you everything you need. You don't need a man. And in order to correct that process, you're going to have to speak to her emotional needs that led her to pursue that path of independence to the point where she's comfortable with the thought that she doesn't need a man.
Sister, get your mask. Take something real quick to you, please.
A lot of us.
Okay, wait a minute. Everybody can't talk at once. Okay, so who asked me first?
Go ahead, brother. Yes, this is Brother Malik. I believe in my statement to you that I addressed the pain. When I spoke, I said, for a man to maintain a woman, he has to have knowledge to upkeep her head and her heart. That's the pain,
right,
sister. That with all that you said was in that one statement that I gave.
Yes, sir.
I am very, very aware of the pain of my sisters. I mean, I feel the sisters, especially in the nation, the MGT, I feel their pain.
Yes.
And I'm like, my thought is this on that subject on a personal level. I feel their pain sometimes so much that in my heart, I said to myself, I wish I was in a position, or I prayed that if I was in a position where I could suffice the needs other than, I'm not talking about intimately, but if every sister, if I had the means to take care of them until a brother came along in order to suffice all the needs necessary as far as a relationship and marriage, I would do that because I constantly feel their pain. So when a lot of brothers are sensitive to the pain of the sisters, but oftentimes what happens in life is that when a person is personally going through pain, he's not aware of the pain of the other person because he's concentrating so much on his own. So a lot of times in the nation, that's what we get. It's not that the brothers don't feel the pain, but they're in pain as well. So they're dealing with their own pain, and they're not looking at anybody else's.
Yeah, you see, I agree. I know myself personally, and I know a lot of FOIs that all we deal with is the pain of the female. We get that. That's a major part of our relationship. And I know that men and women process differently. So, and that's a good example because I heard every brother say that they deal with the pain by talking about maintaining her spiritually and mentally and dealing with her head. When you deal with her head, that means, translated in man talk, you get in her mind and you sitting and hearing her story and you feeling her pain. That goes with the territory. You as a man, if you're a man, I'm not talking about a boy, if you're a man, that's a part of what you expect. You expect her to be coming with some pain. You expect to have to help her to get over the pain of her life, the pain of not having a father, the pain of no good relationship or a bad relationship, whether she did it or the brothers did it, because a lot of times sisters bring the pain to a relationship too. So if they are not sympathetic to the pain that brothers go through, and they're not going to get the sympathy like they should. If a brother feels like she's not sympathetic to his pain, he's not going to continue to loan her that ear, especially when the nature of the female is to be the consoler, and the man is to be able to go out and maintain it, and he's supposed to listen too. So I feel the sister's pain, but I'm going to say this. Them the kind of things that I want to know in the courtship so I can determine, is this sister scarred so bad that I love her, but I may choose not to deal with her. Because where I'm going in life or where I'm at in life, she's my sister, and I can be her brother, but it's not necessarily the sister that I want to spend my life with and bring home, because it might be too much work, and it might mean that she's not willing to do the work that she needs to do on herself. I can be willing to
help
her
right.
all I want. But if she's not willing to participate in her own elevation, then what I'm doing is all in vain.
Okay. Does anyone else want to speak to that?
I'll briefly speak to it. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, as far as speaking to the sister's pain, you have to, first of all, we have to be able to have the sisters be able to tell us their pain. Because
right.
What I've noticed, a lot of women, it seems like they just expect the man to understand things and know things. You know, we have to know this stuff first before we can find out what you're dealing with. And there is
That's
a lot
right.
of women holding a lot of stuff in. And then you can tell if they're holding stuff in because in a simple conversation or something happens, they immediately jump to get defensive.
They blow
and
up.
You know stuff that's going on. And so they have to be able, we have to be able to come together and say, okay, like the brother said, I want to know this in courtship. Hey, I need to know what's going on with you, but that becomes with communication. Are we too busy competing or trying to communicate with one another? That's our biggest problem. You know, we're trying to impress them. They trying to impress us. Let's talk. You know, we can deal with that other stuff later because we need to get to know the inside of each other before we can deal with, you know, the exterior of each other. So it's about you got to tell us what's going on. Then we can deal with what you're dealing with. I either help you with what you're dealing with.
That's all right.
This is,
okay.
All right.
Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Gary Mahomes. I wanted to speak to your comment directly, Sister Gidget, but I also wanted to speak to the SOI who are listening in. And from my study of the woman and my growing up in a two-parent home, mother and a father with four siblings, the first thing that I noticed in studying my mother and my sisters is women are not like that. Women are not creatures that at the drop of an emotional disturbance she runs to her husband. That is the point of Minister Farrakhan saying knowing how to maintain your woman. If you have studied your woman, you are watching your woman because she's your field to plant your seed. The white man don't wait for the field or his crop to tell him that insects or vagabonds has raided his field. The white man goes and he checks his field. He's monitoring his field to make sure an enemy hasn't crept in.
Well, if the white man would do his seals like that, why can't the black man do his woman like that? Why come he's not studying his woman to see if an emotional disturbance have crept in? You have to watch her, brother. You have to keep your eye on her. And by the time you don't do that, then when she blasts out an emotional tirade, you become upset because you wasn't watching her. You wasn't studying. And then you become upset and bitter at the woman because you said, well, you're saying to yourself, well, why did you respond like that? Because she's been giving you signs the whole time to the point to where she just literally blew up like a volcano. But if the man does his job and studies his woman like he's supposed to, then you can stop the emotional outburst before it gets to that point. I just studied that. Now, I'll quickly say this, Sister Gidget, that in my previous marriage, it was a beautiful marriage, okay? My divorce wasn't the result of me and my wife not getting along and not having a beautiful relationship. The problem that I had is the two families, the extended families, didn't get along to the point where it was so much hell that was created around the immediate family from the dislike of the two families that it created the breakdown of my marriage, okay? But I ran an experiment with my wife. What I did was I noticed these emotional disturbances taking place with her. So I said, I have to literally protect this woman's mind. So what I did was I came in the house one day and I cut the cable cord. She said to me, what are you doing? I said, I want to try an experiment. I want to try and build a relationship where you are going to love me, I'm going to love you, meaning the mind. So I cut the cable cord to where the only thing her and I could do for entertainment was to entertain each other, okay? Any type of entertainment we did outside of that, we would read newspapers or we would choose selective movies. I want to tell you, 30 days, the outburst in my home had went from 100% to a 10%. It was total peace with the exception of her being on what I would call the womanly cycle. It came about where there was not peace in my home. It was peace every day with the exception of that moment.
Thank you. Have a great day. Peace.
What is that?
Hello? I don't know what that's
okay.
Like.
We're still here. Go ahead, Brother Gary.
Okay. And I had noticed that. So that was one of the first signs that Allah gave me, to let me know that I have to secure this woman's mind, not just with knowledge from a book, but I had to apply this knowledge and create an environment where she was not being bombarded with things that will cause her to become emotionally disturbed or mentally disturbed because of the security level, how can I put it, to where she was in a position to where she believed I wasn't able to do what a man should have done. So this is one of the things that I do understand what you're saying, Sister Gidget, that we as men, we have to pay attention to our women more, to where they don't have to tell us, but we will know that they're suffering some type of an emotional pain by our ability to just give them the attention that they need by studying. And that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. So we've been having some technical difficulties, and I'm doing two or three things at one time, but I want to cover some topics before we run out of time, and we're at the halfway point now, and I really appreciate all your comments, and I appreciate you all sharing, but I want to get to the issue of fear, because that is what I see the most in both FOI and MGT. And Brother Gary, you've been married before. Brother Michael, this is your second marriage. All of you have had relationships at some point. And sometimes, you know, we know relationships don't go well. So is there a phobia that you see among the MGT? Because sometimes we go into a courtship, even a marriage, being doubtful, being unsure, just hoping, not trusting, not believing, not even willing to really do all the work and invest our entire selves because of that fear. And so I I want to know is if do you see that in the MGT so that they will know that that's something that they need to work on, and is it difficult for you to deal with when a woman has that phobia? Because I'm trying to get to the point to what is the division? What are the causes of division? And these are the things that I've observed, and maybe you as brothers have observed something else. So, Brother McKay, I want to ask you, brother, but I don't know if you're going to be able to answer me. Are you okay?
I'm fine, sis.
Okay.
Go ahead. What was the question? If we see the fear in the MGT?
Do you see fear in the MGT? Like, even before you got married, because I know you've been married, a little over a year now. So, even before you got married, did you see that fear in the MGT? Was it,
In my personal observation in dealing with the MGT, I don't necessarily see fear. I see impatience. That's what I've seen in the last 20 years, impatience in picking or choosing a mate improperly or rushing into a marriage. I can't count on my hands how many times I've seen a sister or brother get married just to be divorced a year or 6 months later. I've seen too many of that. And so I see a lot of times impatience, and just my observation, based on maybe wrong motivations or the wrong thing that you're looking for in somebody. You know, the Holy Quran said, if you're unable to find a mate, keep chase until Allah makes you free from one.
Time permitted to
hello?
To send a message,
yes,
at any time.
Right.
To listen to your message,
said,
two. To re-record, press three.
Somebody has messages
for more
on.
Options, press four.
Cancel, I don't know who's on
star.
That is.
No, it's not
I
me.
Think
to send your message, press 1 at any time.
Anybody.
To listen to your message, press 2. To re-record.
Okay, it's gone. Go ahead. I'm sorry about
I was saying, Allah says in the Quran, if you're unable to find a mate, keep chase until Allah makes you free from one out of his grace. You know, that in and of itself is very powerful. He didn't say, until you make yourself, you're looking for me. He didn't say, wait on yourself or develop yourself or do this and this and that. It said, until he make you free from one out of his grace. And so what I see a lot of times is we're impatient. We're rushing. And the sisters, I don't believe, very fearful. I see a lot of them desire to be married. I just see impatience more than I see making a right choice or even developing yourself. And the Holy Quran almost commands us to be patient or severe over 90 different times in the Holy Quran, and that's something we go against. So I don't necessarily see fear on the sisters. I see them in a position wanting to get married, but I do see impatience, sometimes on both sides, but I definitely see that. Not fear, though.
Okay, and Brother Gary, do you see fear?
Truthfully, no, I don't see fear. Honestly, I think this generation of sisters are some of the most outgoing and straightforward sisters that I've seen since I've been in existence. So, no, I don't think it's fear at all. I just have to be straight about it. I don't. No, ma'am.
Okay, and Brother Malik?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I do see a fear. I see a fear, going back to what you, in your last statement, dealing with pain.
Mm-hmm.
We can't move forward in any relationship unless we alleviate the pain. The brothers are in pain, whether they want to admit it or not. The sisters are in pain. In order for us to move forward in any relationship that we may have, whether it's a wife, our children, our family, our nation, the world, we have to alleviate the pain. That's why the minister has us or told us all to be audited. We cannot move forward in the relationship that we have with one another until we remove the pain of our past experiences in our lives. Me, myself, being a supervisor in the auditing field, a gold seal auditor, when a person goes through pain in their life, when you take a certain path in your life, And at a certain point, you go through trials and tribulations at a certain point that led up to the pain or led up to the fear. If you get with another person and you travel in that same road, what that does is trigger your past pain, even though you don't know what the outcome is going to be the same. But at that point, the road that's being taken is the same. So when your perception, when you look at it, you say, wow, I went through this before. I'm about to be hurt. So that stops you in your tracks. Until we can remove that and remove the perception that we have of things and go into the reality of things, then we're not going to get past these things that we're dealing with as individuals. So throughout the nation, it is important, it's very important that we go through this auditing process. It's just a tool, as the minister has taught us. It's not something to make us Scientologists. It's a tool. And we need to use whatever tool the minister gives us in order for us to get across the river to the other side on his shoulders. We have to follow every instruction that he gives us. We can't negate and say, well, that's for someone else, that's not for me. But if he tells you it's for all of us, then it's for all of us.
Yes, sir. And Brother Brian.
Yeah, I too see fear. I had my relationship for the most part was wonderful. I dig my wife dig me, and she knew I loved her. But fear, you are dealing with the fear of previous relationships, and I'm so sensitive to cookies because seems to me, in some cases, men, if they work at it, they can overcome their fears, in my experience, quicker than women. The minister says a woman is like a flower. So once you burn her, if she's been burnt in previous relationships, it's very, very difficult to open that flower up again. And depending on whether or not that has happened once or twice or more than several times before she got to you, like you said, whether it be the father not being there, whether it been the father there not being attentive or have a relationship with it, whether it been previous boyfriends and bad relationships, you bring all that to your current situation. And that's why proper communication is very important. You know, I came from a good background with wonderful grandparents that were good role models. Grew up with parents, a good community that had wonderful marriages around them. And one of the things that I observed that this generation must do is we've got to be brothers and sisters and be comfortable enough to be straight up with each other. I will say that I think it takes the man to have himself together enough to be well with himself in general, to be able to recognize the trauma in a woman and be sensitive to that and be willing to ease her mind and help her work through that. But that fear is so deep that sometimes women, it's very difficult for them to hold on, for them to let go of that fear. And brother said something beautiful. Sometimes they have triggers, and brothers and sisters, but I'm talking about sisters, sometimes they have triggers that have nothing to do with you, and you don't know where it's coming from, but there's things that happen, and it don't have to be bad. It's just a trigger that they're going through, and you're clueless. And I, too, agree that Dynetics is a wonderful tool. Being a minister, I had a chance to counsel a lot of people and couples. And I believe that Dynetics is good, but then sometimes when the person that fears, that has a lot of fear, they might be shy away from it and reluctant to go through the Dynetics. So you can encourage them by going yourself and encouraging them to pay for it or go with them or whatever. But until they get to the point where they
comfortable enough or can get past their fear or face their fear to the point of seeking the help or allowing you to help them or getting the help that they need, you know, it's very difficult. So, yeah, I see fear in our relationships. Because when you get close to sisters, they will share their fear. But there's also some hidden fear that underlying. Sometimes you find it as your woman trusts you as her brother and as her ace moon coon, or like my wife used to say, her squiggly. She'll open up things to you that, and it'll come out of nowhere, whether it be 5, 10 years later, because she knows that she's wrecking the relationship, and she loves you. She don't want to wreck it, but and things are going bad because she's having these issues, and she lets you in a little bit, but because of fear, there's always some other stuff, and we really need to get some help out here, because I see beautiful people that potentially can have a beautiful relationship otherwise, but because they got certain traumas in their past that have nothing to do with you, they're not able to get past that, and they need professional help.
Well, you know what? I agree with you, Brother Brian. And this is one thing I want to offer to the FOI on behalf of the MGT. And I just want you all to think about it. Just tell me what you think. You know, because back in the day, not saying how old I am, I remember as a young girl coming up in the first resurrection, of course, you know, the Wileys and the Walemas, so to speak, were very, very active in the mock. And when I'm talking about us coming together, closing the gap, you know, there's so many layers to that. You know, we can be husbands and wives, but we have to be brothers and sisters first. And so, you know, there's a saying that old men for counsel, young men for war. You know, so I'm saying in order to make these sisters feel secure, in order to allow them to heal, they just need to really know that somebody cares for them, somebody's looking out for their, you know, for their benefit on their behalf, because when a woman is going through the process of trying to choose a husband, and she's going through that courtship process, there's an understanding about a man that she'll never have until she actually experienced that, you know, until she actually goes through the pain and learns the signs of when he's not being completely faithful or not being completely honest. She has to learn and observe that brother. And by that time, she is so emotionally connected that if things don't go right, it's devastating to her. And so the Wileys and the Walemas need to step up, and I'm saying that you all as brothers, you know, not necessarily potential courtmates, need to take care of the sisterhood in a brotherly way. You know, so those of you who are in your 50s and 60s and you see some sisters, they 20 and 30 years old, and they want to go on the courtship, but, you know, they just really don't have anybody that they can just really turn to and say, you know, well, you know, what about this and what about that, and I don't really understand this about men, and, well, this brother said that, and what could he possibly mean? He told me one thing, but I ain't feeling it. I mean, they really have nobody to turn to, especially those who are minors, fathers or big brothers or grandparents or whatever. So when I'm talking about closing the gap, I'm talking about on all levels, not just the relationship, but we need that entity from the FOI as well. So I just want to get y'all opinion on that, and I'm going to go ahead and start with Brother McHale, because I want you to go get you some tea or something. Brother McHale, go ahead and answer that question for me.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you now.
You guys are breaking up. You have to repeat that question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, so I was asking you about securing the sisters in a brotherly fashion, like a Wiley, so to speak.
You know, I think that's a really deep question, and I think that's one you pose to the sisters in the future, I think, because I've, just off experience, I've seen brothers do the Wiley and whatnot, but the motives of the sisters looked at the motives wrong. Like, maybe is this brother after something? Brother is just being a brother. I've seen that multiple times. And so it happened to myself. So that tends to be like, listen, I'm not even going to deal with that. Now, if anyone know me, I'm a strong believer in the Holy Quran, period. But Surah 5, 55, Allah, His messenger, and the true believers are friends of one another. So when you do that, you know, you try to do that, and if your motives is looked at wrong, you ain't did nothing wrong. You ain't did nothing improper. You're doing it based off that premise, Surah 5. I think that's something that has to be addressed with the sisters and why they look at that from whatever experience they've had before. But if we believe in community, I'm talking about believers, man. That's all I care about first. We extend to everybody else afterwards. But I'm talking about believers. I'm doing something. You a single sister. You need help. I pay for your rent, or I give you fix your car, or whatever. It doesn't mean I'm trying to get with you at all.
Right,
are you a believer?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. But if you take that with no evidence of anything but suspicion, but on your whatever you think, see, that's on you. And I've seen that many a time.
Yes,
many
sir.
A time. So that'll keep a brother.
Right.
Gotta keep a brother from even trying, and then
that's
a sister
right,
be
right.
like, "Why? But like, who wants to help if their motives are screwed? Not did the brother say anything out of ordinary? Did he try to get you by yourself? Is there any evidence that says his intentions is other than? If you don't have
right.
that, then what are you standing on? See, that part I don't like, and I think that some sisters have to look within inside themselves and say why they do that. Are there brothers out there who's tried to done that? Do that before, excuse me? I'm pretty sure there has. There's been some people with the wrong motives, but you're going to have to deal with that case by case. And if I use myself, for example, if I do it for you, I'm doing it with the most pure intention. All I care about is the believers. We're supposed to help one another as believers, and if we can't do that, then, man, we just give it up then. But, I mean, we can have that. Sisters can have that right now. It just got to do something about that skeptical eye. When a brother hasn't shown you that he's trying to get at you, he ain't shown you that. He's showing you straight, Brother Wiley, then
right.
deal with it from that accord. If he comes at another angle, well, sister, I'll give you his money, but I have to drop it off at 11 o'clock at night. That's a red flag right there. Brother ain't going to do that. One, that's about his business. You see what I'm saying? Brother's about his business. And if he is about his business, he'll make sure there's a witness there if he has to drop something or do something, but gotta get rid of that suspicion about the motives. And I've seen that, and I've seen that personally many a time. It happened to me twice, and I've seen that with my own eye. And that's something I think that's a question on to the sisters, really, because the brothers will do that. I mean, you're the MGT. You're the MGT. We Muslims, and ain't nobody on the planet believe like we do that God is
that's
a man
right.
and Christ is alive and that the unbelievable
right.
spark kind of divine mind. So we all we got, man.
See that.
We all we got, so we got to get rid of that type of stuff.
Come on.
So I just don't like that. You know, I'm not going to have a sister rocking, trying to be righteous here, and she in her headpiece, she's striving, and she's single, and she's struggling. I'm not going to just let her be. Like that, we got to take care of each other. But at the same time, I don't want to look like, well, you got wrong motives. Learn how to judge accordingly. If a brother approach you wrong, then you know what to do. And if he don't approach you wrong, and he doing right, then Jesus, say all praise due to Allah. The brother Jabril said in an article that's on my Facebook, because I use that article all the time, he said if we will learn more about how God communicates, we will learn more often than not that he communicates to us through the words and actions of others that we might not give ourselves. Our sister may be hurting. May I pray to Allah. Allah ain't finna jump out the wheel and say, here I am, here's the stuff that you need. He may send a brother through you. But don't look at that as always with that eye that somebody has the wrong intention unless they reveal their hand. That bugs me personally, because then you're turning down something that it may be Allah sending you help. You just don't know.
Yes, sir.
Unless he, you just don't know, unless that brother did something wrong, then go about it that way. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm gonna let y'all answer, but I have some people who have been waiting for a while, and I think I know who this brother is. Caesar, can you open up the phone line for 918?
Yes, ma'am. Sam, where phone's open?
Walaikum salam.
Is this brother Ivan?
Yes, ma'am, it is. How's the family doing? Y'all, man, y'all on it, man. Y'all cracking albums up in here, man.
We trying. Looks like I'm about to do part two with the brothers because I got like a whole nother page I ain't even touched yet. But go ahead, Brother Ivan, what's your comment?
As far as what particular part, because y'all didn't touch some stuff. Y'all brothers, the brothers been getting busy, so what's the part? Make sure.
Well, whatever part you want to comment on, you know, whether you want to comment about a rally, of fear, or being a good Muslim, whatever.
Well, you was talking about, I guess, closing the gap between the, in particular, the black men and black women, but in particular, the FYI and the MGT, right?
Yes, sir. But on all levels, not just on a relationship, but on all levels. So that we could get back to being brother and sister first, loving, trusting, respecting one another, and then going forward to build those relationships. But we want to know what the purpose of the show is. I want to know what you brothers see in the MGT as a problem. Or something that maybe we as a whole can work together to fix to make you brothers more comfortable and more confident about getting married.
Well, I would venture to say, I think others have mentioned, but I would like to add that we have to be judged on an individual basis, and then I think some of the sisters, like, for instance, let me say, I was looking at that thread. I don't know which brother asked the question about sisters relocating, and there's some sisters that say they'll relocate, but I'm noticing more and more sisters asking the question, why can't the brother relocate where I'm at, so to speak? And so when brothers see that question like that, that right, see, natural nature is. Anything.
Brother Ivan, your phone is breaking up, dear.
Can you hear me now?
The man's
natural nature is to be a conqueror, and so what happens is any time that anything puts up resistance that doesn't yield to his nature, he'll either do two or three things. He'll go through it, around it, or over it. Nonetheless, his whole objective is to conquer it. So when we hear something simple as, you know, I would hope that the brother would want to come where I'm at. That right there sounds to a man's mind, and the brothers can help me out or correct me one or two, that there's a resistance there. And that's just not something we want to deal with. That, you know, I mean, not that we don't. And, of course, the FY is always trained to overcome all difficulties. But what happens when you hear sisters say that, I know for me when I see a sister say, well, I would hope that a brother would come my direction, I'm less inclined. Not that she would be struck and completely off of the list as a potential, but she'd be one to be looked at as fast because I see resistance in that regard. Well, if she's saying she don't want to relocate, then what else is she resisting about? You know, so those kind of things when it is, even though it's just on a social network, but a large number of us are on here, so on both sides, but we're talking about the sisters. They have to be careful with their language and some of the stuff they're saying, because we all got to see ourselves, but we all create our own reality. So as a brother would say, I'm a straight shooter. You have to look at yourself. Why are you by yourself? What is it you're doing or not doing that's making brothers, as some sisters say, overlook you? I remember when we talked about that issue, Sister Gidget. Years back, and I remember I told you how the sisters were all over me when they asked the question about sisters being overweight, and I made an analogy. Mm-hmm. You know, sisters, now I'm just saying, this is what our sisters
were all over me because I was very straight to the point about what I said. But I use an analogy as when the first time that, or the first two times I pursued sisters, I was told my finances weren't good enough. Which I was fine with that. But I said this to myself, if I ever get turned down for a courtship again, it won't be because of that. And so I said to the sisters, if you think that being overweight, if you don't have a weight problem or a medical problem that's causing you not to be able to lose weight, if you think that the reason brothers are not pursuing you is because you're overweight, then do something about losing the weight. I got berated with so much stuff from saying that. So I'm saying this is certain things regard that would help, that would encourage the brothers to move closer to the sisters. But I don't know if it was Brother Gary that said it about us studying it. And then, of course, on the brother's side, we have to be more open and a little bit more lenient, more patient, if you will. You know, we have to do that. As caretakers of the woman, you know, we have to be real careful about how we deal with them. And some brothers are not as compassionate as they should be. I would say that, you know, we gotta loosen up a little bit, just a little.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Ivan. I'm gonna leave your mic on live because I know you got something else to say, but I'm gonna bring in this other caller. Caesar, can you open the line for area code 412?
Yeah, hold on for a second. 412.
Why are you doing this? I totally agree with the young brother that talked about friendship. I've been a brother all my life, and I have many long-time sisters that love me to death, and it's simply plutonic because I've been a brother that made them feel comfortable, and many MDT who still to this day love me to death. I've helped marriages stay together. I'm a brother. But one of my biggest disappointments is, like you said, when you just want to be a brother, and you ain't interested in nothing else, and the sisters muddy the water. And I know it's because a lot of times sisters not used to being treated kind. They're not used to down brother or whatever. But sometimes, most of the time, let me not say sometimes, most of the time, we just want to be a brother. I like being a brother to a sister, though.
Okay, let me take this question. Okay, area code 412.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam, sir. Calling.
This is Brother Bilal Muhammad calling from Pittsburgh. How the family doing tonight?
How are you?
I'm wonderful, sis. Long time no see. Well, look.
I know.
When I was living in Houston, I was doing security with Minister Jabril, and he said these words. He said, one day we're going to get mature enough in the Nation of Islam where brothers and sisters can sit down in a coffee shop and other brothers and sisters can pass by them and won't think nothing of it. Now, the problem I'm having right now with the MDT, it seems like they hold grudges towards the FOI. You know, like, I'm not understanding because we both be one nation, one mind, and growing, you know, into brotherly and sisterly love, but yet it seems like we hold grudges towards one another, and that shouldn't be. Now, we shouldn't be spooky. Like, just the other day, my car had broke down, and I needed a ride to the store. So I called all the FOI can call. That's all at work. So I called an MDT that I knew wasn't at work. The sister told me these words. She said, brother, you know, in the future, have your wife call me. But that devil in me started telling us, well, sister, in the future, when you want to sell me a Botox or a bean pop, go to my wife first then. See, that's something I don't like. I don't like to play games like that. You know, when I'm there to help you, you should be there to help me because my wife knows who I am. My wife knows that I'm a go-getter and I'm supporting my family. In fact, she's on the three-way phone with me right now on this conference call. But we got to stop being hypocritical towards one another. Either you're going to help me, you know what I'm saying, at all times or don't help me at all because I'm here because you know who I was and I'm living in Houston. I get to shut up my back to an FOI or an MDT You know,
yes, sir.
My
yes,
love
sir.
In the my love is in the Nation of Islam. I'm not a part-time Muslim. I'm a 24-hour day FOI, and that's how we got to be with one another. But the MGT just got to stop some reason holding grudges, because you say you want to get married, but yet you're holding grudges something that happened 3 or 4 years in the past. How you expect, you know, to carry on with a husband then? You're not going to sleep with him because you get mad at him. So, you know, when you're going to take your bed with him for a whole year, hold a grudge, you'll never get married or never keep a marriage like that. So we got to be mature enough to deal with one another in the brother and sisterly manner. The same way you're right on your sister who your mother gave birth to, you should be able to ride around with an MGT who God gave birth to. Thank you, sis.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Bilal. It was so good to hear your voice after so long.
Yes, ma'am.
Give the queen the greetings for me.
Yes, ma'am. She hears you. She on the 3-way phone with me.
As-salamu alaykum, queen. Okay,
thank you
for calling in, Brother Bilal.
Oh, yeah, one other note now. If y'all are ever in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, come to my wife's takeout spot called Sister's Kitchen, all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And that's going to cost us $10.
We were so late getting the phones back on, and the phones are just lighting up. I'm going to take 2 more questions, and then we're going to get back to the panel. DJ Black Caesar, can you do area code 773?
Waalaikum
salam.
This is Brother Daniel.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Daniel. How are you?
Oh, fine, by the grace of Allah. One of the panels. Waalaikum salam, family.
Salam.
Oh, fine,
Brother,
by the grace of Allah.
Is that your computer on? Because we're getting an echo.
Okay, sorry. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I want to state that we as the believers, we have to really have to look within one within ourselves.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Right.
But we want to know, Brother Daniel, what do you see as a problem amongst the MGT? And I'm not saying that you're judging any individual sister, but just overall in your observation of being single, observing sisters, is there something overall that you think we as the MGT need to address?
Well, I think whatever issue that you have in the past, that should be dealt with.
Okay. Okay,
right.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. You know, whatever
yes,
issue you have in the past, you know, that has to be dealt with. You can't bring that type of baggage, that type of excess baggage with you all the time.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, listen. Hold on, Brother Daniel, because I got a sister on the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to bring her in. She's probably the only sister that's going to call in and say something. As-salamu alaykum, sister. Your mic is live.
Wa alaikum salam, family. How's everybody
this evening?
I'm doing
yes,
well, by the grace of Allah. This is Sister Shafika.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Shafika. How are you?
I'm doing fine by Allah's grace. I just wanted to chime in and address a few things that I had heard a couple of the brothers mention. One of the brothers mentioned the sisters need to stop holding grudges. We as believers need to stop holding grudges, period. But also we need to understand what we get in our respective classes. And without going into a lot of detail, that is proper protocol for a sister to let the brother know, a married brother especially, that he is to have his wife to call that sister
and then go through that way. That's just respect. Not that's not saying, oh, he's trying to holler at me or he might try to holler at me. That's just proper protocol that we use, and that's what the sisters are taught. In addition, I believe it was Brother Ivan that mentioned that something about the sisters questioning relocating. And
yes,
if she questioned relocation, what else would she question? Well, brother, in the right spirit, we can question, we can ask a question of anyone in the right spirit. And also, so I think it's in the way that, it's in the delivery, I would say. And then if the delivery is smooth, it's also in the way that it's perceived once it hits your ears. A lot of times when we say, well, brother, why do I have to relocate? It's not us challenging you. It's us finding out, seriously, why should we relocate? Give me some actual fact. Let us deal with the substance of the matter. If you have a stable, let's say a stable job, or you have your own business, for instance, so it wouldn't be wise for Brother Ivan to just uproot himself from where he's at. So, yes, a sister should, you know, probably lean that way, but don't assume that we're just challenging you or being stiff-necked or rebellious, because that's not always the case. We love y'all, and we're trying to do better. We are, but communication is the key on all levels.
Yes, ma'am, and I know it would not behoove a lot of sisters who may be business owners themselves, who may be career women, who have grandfathered themselves into companies or whatever the case may be, it might not behoove them to move financially. I think where Brother Ivan is coming from is, you know, he's being the maintainer of the woman, and that if it gets to that point to whereas we're in courtship, we're thinking about getting married, we're going to get married, you need to relocate here with me, the man, because I'm going to maintain you regardless. So, you know, I'm thinking that's where he's coming from. I'm hoping that's where he's coming from. But he's on the line. Brother Ivan, you want to speak to Sister Shafiqua about that question?
Well, the thing is this. Of course, you know, you each couple decide what's best for
you breaking up, Brother Ivan.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
What I'm talking about is I've watched it over a period of time, over a protracted period of time, that many sisters are reluctant, whatever to be sisters or whatever reason. I've seen some sisters with some.
Brother Ivan,
that's not my phone.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Ivan.
Well, what I'm saying is I've seen some sisters talk about, you know, with them having children and some of the viable reasons, and that's, you know, when those kind of situations arise, then a brother has to consider, you know, is this a sister that he wants to move forward with? If it's not something that she say, I've seen some say, well, I'm willing to relocate, but not right now. So the brother has to decide for himself, does he want to continue to pursue that sister, or does he say, well, you know, he's looking to get married in his immediate situation eventually, so he decides whether he pursues her or waits. But I'm seeing sisters just in general reluctant to move. I'm hearing them say, why can't the brothers come? Why the brother can't relocate where I'm at? The minister and all the brothers can attest to this. Told
yes,
the
sir.
Brothers.
Yes,
he
sir.
Didn't say do it. He advised. He didn't say you couldn't do it. He advised us not to do it, though.
Yes, he did. That's right. That's right, brother.
Each situation different and unique, but he gave a reason for that as well. He qualified why he said that. But what I don't understand is the sisters know this. Why do you think that we're... I don't understand the reluctance. that I'm seeing. I don't get it, but I made that statement because brothers see that, and brothers can attest that
yes,
makes a brother say, well, man, I don't know if I want to even check into pursuing that sister because of that right there. Now, it shouldn't stop a brother from having interest in a sister, but it does.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, we're gonna have to hammer that out because that's a case by case basis, I believe, Brother Ivan. And you know, it's just up to the individual couple of what is beneficial to both of them, and inshallah they'll be able to work that out. But you know, it's that kind of thing, that kind of small issue. I know it's not a small issue, but if that kind of thing, if that creates division, instead of us being able to sit down and make a decision, see, that's the problem. If that kind of thing is turning us off from one another because a sister may be apprehensive or a brother may be apprehensive, you know, it's that kind of thing that instead of walking away that we need to sit down and fix, because we walk away for so many frivolous reasons.
Yes, ma'am.
And we sacrifice happiness, and we sacrifice building a nation and building a family because we let these little things get in our way. And that's what I'm getting to. I'm not trying to map out each individual scenario because there are many, as many as there are individuals, but we have to let go of some of this stuff, sit down and talk to one another like civilized people who know these teachings and work through those obstacles in order to come together. That's my point. And so if that is an issue, we need to learn how to get past that issue. If a sister is insecure about relocating, then it's your job as a man to secure her in that thought process. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Sister Gidget, can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
I wanted to briefly say something because I understand Shafiqua's point, but I definitely understand Brother Ivan's point. And I'm going to tell you from a man's perspective what I briefly saw when I used to see this on the singles courtship site, is that when the MGT hear the man that we believe to be the voice of God, tell the man, you don't move where the woman is. The woman moves where you is. He said if she has a house and you don't have a house, he said she should sell her house. And you all should get a house together, in quote, Minister Farrakhan. So when a man knows that a woman heard him say this, and then she says she love him and follow him, and then she comes to the man and then tells the man or says to the man to go contrary to the man of God, how can a man like me, who loves the minister, watching a woman who I'm thinking about courting, even trying to put me in a position to go against the man of God? So now I'll go to Shafiqua's point. Okay, Shafiqua, you're right. Everybody might not be saying that, but my suggestion would be this. Why not reword and say, brother, can you explain to me how, if I come and move where you are, how are you going to secure me, provide for me or my children if I have it? And I think that if our women go about it a little bit of a different way, I think that gap that's there pertaining to that topic can be closed. And I think some healing can take place. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're making a beautiful point because a lot of times, if he's a good brother, he want to refer, he's living his life as close as he can to the principles of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in most cases, he's going to be able to tell you what principle that he's making this decision based on, and that comes with communication. Yes, he should address her concern with the principle of what Minister Farrakhan says, but she should also ask him, where she has a responsibility to ask him, to tell him her concern and ask him where he's coming from also. And when he shared that principle with her, then, you know, it's real simple to me. Because if I'm following the principle that the minister laid down, I'm not going to get off of that. And it's simple. It's not hard. Either if she's somebody that want to follow that, and sometimes there's special reasons. I'm a reasonable person. But basically, if she just not willing to listen to that principle, then that's simple. It's just not going to be one I choose.
Absolutely.
Somebody else might be
far.
Mr.
Gidget,
I'm in agreement.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just going to put a suggestion out here because I honestly believe that a lot of this has to do with our ability to communicate and listen properly.
Because I'm not disagreeing with what Brother Ivan said or with what Brother Gary said. However, you have to understand also that there are some sisters who are just into the ranks. Everybody's not heard every single word that the minister has spoken. So we have to teach gently. Give that information.
Right.
We can't be finger in your face, this is what the minister said, et cetera, et cetera. However, we also shouldn't speak in generality. I can't say somebody posted a question about if the FOI are arrogant. I couldn't say that the entire whole of the FOI are arrogant. You can't speak in generality. So I believe that we need to have a roundtable discussion regarding communication because I believe that that's the gap.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. That's the first one. That's the first gap right there. That's the key. Okay, listen, I love you, Sister Shafika, but I got two more questions I have to take, Queen. Thank you for calling in. Huh?
No, I was just saying thank you so much for opening up my line, and I love y'all. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I'm gonna try to move through these questions quickly, brothers. I'm sorry. Can y'all make a commitment to come back and talk to your sister again?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, it's the will of Allah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm gonna try to take these questions. DJ Black Caesar, can we do 404 right quick?
Which
404? 404.
Which one?
404-465.
Okay. 404.
Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum salam. Who's speaking, please?
This is the question. I don't have a question. I just have more of a statement because pretty much all of my questions have been answered by the brothers and the sisters who just spoke. But my thing is this. If I'm married, been married to my husband for 8 years, and we have things we go through, our ups and downs as well. But I feel like this. If a brother, because I believe strongly that the man is the head. God is God over man over woman over children. Follow that order. But if a man is not following God, then I don't think the woman had to follow ignorance. And I just believe that. That's just a statement that I wanted to make, and maybe the brothers can elaborate on that. Am I wrong in thinking that way? Or if you follow God, if you have the man of God to the fullest, then I'm gonna follow you. But if you're doing something outside of God and what I believe, then should we follow it as women?
Well, sister, that's no, ma'am. And he shouldn't even be considered for courtship. I mean, that's plain to me. But I'm going to let one of the brothers answer because maybe I didn't. But, I mean, hey, if you're not following the man of God, I'm not going to let you lead me into the business of hell. I can go by myself. But
okay.
I'm going to let one of the brothers answer.
Can I say something to Gidget? Because I want to say something before
Father. Let me clear it up, though, look at
Gidget. Oh, yeah, skating back.
I just wanted to that question just arises in my mind by some of the statements and stuff that I heard the brothers and sisters were saying, and about us following them. And I have no problem following my husband wherever he goes, because I know that he's following God. And so, but in some cases, you may not have brothers that following the teachers according to the way we should be. They might have their Islam, so what we hear, instead of the Nation of Islam's teaching, or they have their own way of doing things. And so they may not be bringing the women in properly, the proper way. So should these women follow that, not knowing, like the sister said, you may have new sisters that don't even know what to do and then what to expect. And they being held accountable for something that they don't even know about the teaching.
Last question. Last question.
Yes,
yes, sir. I understand that principle. I understand that premise, what you're saying, and that's true in this premise. Sometimes I ask a different question. Is those sisters following the minister 100%? You know?
That's the man on the scene.
And I mean, better than every last one of us. And that man, I've seen him chastise the sisters for simple things like not covering their hair. Or being on Facebook but not covering. So, we all struggling, we all striving. Ain't none of us 100%, but we striving.
So I would say if a sister see a brother striving to do that, he going to make some mistakes. Then at least have the cognizance and the intelligence to see that this man is striving. How can you help him? But to say, if he's not following God, he's doing this. I'm like, well, damn, is we following the minister at 100%? And we can say no. And the minister chastised both sides all the time. And if you got a man like that, 60 years on the scene in wisdom and direct, the messenger of Allah himself, and you not following 100%, that's kind of hard to require that other brothers, man. And not making an excuse for brothers not to be. You should be striving to follow Allah, follow his messenger. That's the big thing, but to say it when we use that language to me, that throws a red flag. Because the best man among us is not being followed 100%, and he chastises us on many things. And you all know that, so I'm not saying anything new or putting accusing anybody, but that's just the reality of it. It's better to say if this brother is striving and I can see that he's striving, you know what I'm saying? Then I'm willing to follow that. I know that brother's going to make some mistakes. I know he's not right 100%, but I can see enough in that to say I see you on the path.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. See, a lot of times, in my opinion, that's a smoke screen that brothers should not let sisters put on them. A brother following the minister that sincerely is striving, 75% of the work is with women. So they too have to struggle to strive a lot. And so being that she knows she got to strive, she definitely got to be patient with him while he's striving. And that's very important, that if you know you need us to be patient with you, because you know you're striving, then definitely you got to be patient with the brothers that are fulfilling this driver.
Okay, listen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brian. We have 1 minute left, and I'm going to tell y'all this is what I'm going to do, because I'm going to chisel this rock down till there's no more, I promise you. We're going to have to do a part 2, 3, and 4, maybe, whatever it takes. But next week, what I want to do, and all of you sisters who are out there listening, and some of you may have your hands raised and I don't have time to get to your question, if you all are willing to come back and sit down and discuss this again with these brothers, hit me in my inbox so that I can schedule you to be on the show next week, and we're going to have Table Talks 2013 of closing the gap between the black man and black woman. We'll do it like that, because I see there's a lot of back and forth going on, and a lot of people are not really understanding, but the communication
and the voicing of the opinions is beautiful. It's the dialogue is what we need. So, Brother Malik, Brother Brian, Brother Gary, Brother Mikhail, Brother Derek, I'm asking y'all, can y'all come back next week?
Yes,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
We know this is important, and we definitely want to help our neighbors.
Okay, so Sister Shafiqua, Sister Cassandra, all of y'all are invited, Sister Shaquesta, whoever else is on the line listening, all of you sisters are invited to come back and let's sit down and talk to our brothers and find out what's really going on. We are out of time. I thank all of you, FOI, so much. I love you all. I appreciate it so much that you all came on. You all spoke so very well, and I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to really dialogue with all of you in detail the way I wanted to, between the phone messing up and the callers not being able to call in till later. But we're going to do this until we get some consensus on how we're going to better communicate and build a nation. But what I want to leave with you, brothers, I want you all to consider at least becoming a Wiley to one sister that you already have somewhat of a friendship with, so that misunderstanding of your intentions will not be there. And really just start to embrace our sisters and take care of our sisters with our husbands, because they need to get used to the feeling of being secure, so that when they do meet that man, they're not so insecure and they're not so afraid and they don't feel alone, that they have a brother that's looking out for their best interest. So that's a challenge that I'm putting to you FOI on the panel and all of you FOI that are listening. We are out of time. I thank you. I love you. I leave you as I came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wake up, salam, guys.